But today I'm going to bring a message that's somewhat different. And I have some handouts to give you here, but I'll give them to you in a minute. But I strongly believe that as Christians and in the church, okay, it's important that pastors and teachers and anyone whom God has gifted to take His Word and God has given a group of people to teach, I believe that we ought to teach a message of salvation and how do you get saved, how do you come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and there's got to be evangelistic messages. But, having said that, once in a while, I think it's very good also to bring messages that deal with everyday life and the responsibilities that we have as Christians to our earth and to our world and to our environment and our society as a whole. You understand what I'm saying? You okay? You with me? All right? So today, a message that, you know, I just thought a lot about and I put some time into it. I'm going to give you a 3-page handout, and I made 15 copies. Wow, I just made it. I think there's 14 young people, and I made 15, so how about that, huh? Let me do 5 on this side, and then the rest can be distributed here. And I think there's one enough for Dr. Young here. We just want, can I get one of these? You can have that one.
Thank you.
Buddy, you can have my copy. Yeah, I think... Yeah, I think there's enough. Yeah, I made 15, so there's 15 including Dr. Young. Yeah. And I'm going to start out with a quote that's at the very top of the page. And it's a quote that comes from IPCC, which is the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. Okay? It says, an increasing body of observations give a collective picture of warming world and other changes in the climate system. How many of you have heard of global warming? In school, do they talk about it? Do your teachers in school mention it? Yeah? Okay, they do mention it. Good, I'm getting some yeses. That's good. Now, here's what I want to do this afternoon, okay? What I want to do is attach this message of global warming that we hear today a lot, okay, in the secular world, and I want to approach it from a biblical perspective, okay, from the Bible. As Christians, what do we do? Do we believe what we're being told? Do we dismiss it? Or what do we do? How can we as Christians take on the responsibility that God would have us to take? Okay? Alright? So that's what I want to do today with this here. So let me read some of the things that's on page 1 that you have here. Okay? It says, fingerprints. How do you know that we are experiencing global warming? And it says, direct manifestations of a widespread and long-term trend towards warmer global temperatures. Heat waves and periods of unusually warm weather. Ocean warming, sea level rise, and coastal flooding. Glaciers melting. Arctic and Antarctica warming. Okay, those are some fingerprints, they call it. And then there is the Harbingers, am I pronouncing that right? Harbingers? Events that foreshadow the type of impact likely to become more frequent and widespread with continued warming. Okay? Now, we're going to get biblical with this, and some scriptures are going to come in here in just a minute. And what is that? That is the spreading of disease, early spring arrival, plant and animal range shift and population change, coral reef bleaching, downpours, heavy snowfall, floodings, drought, and fires. Do you see some of this on the news? Right? You turn on the news and we hear about these mudslides and these floodings and all this kind of stuff, and you look around and you say, what in the world is going on? It could be that some of that is due to our climate change. Now, let's get rid of that, and let's go to the Bible. And what I have given you here, all of these got used up, right? There's no extras, right? Okay, that's what I thought. Now, let's look at what the Bible has to say about the earth. Okay? Forget about Saturn and Pluto and all those planets out there. Let's look at the Earth, okay? So what does the God, the Bible says about the Earth? In Psalm 24, 1 through 2, it says, "The Earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it, for He founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters." Psalm 89:11 says, "The heavens are yours, and yours also the earth. You founded the world and all that is in it." Two more. Job 41:11. Now this is God asking a question. "Who has a claim against me that I must pay? Everything under heaven belongs to me," he says. Final verse is Genesis 9:7. So God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant I have established between me and all life on the earth." Now, here's a question. Just a little pop quiz. Does anyone know what was the covenant that God made to Noah when he said, "This is a sign of the covenant I have established between me and all life on earth"? Does anyone know what that covenant was by any chance? Yes. Yep, and what was the sign? Rainbow, exactly. Very good. Very good. Both of you gave me the right answers. The covenant was, as Ellen said, that he would not flood the earth again. And then, your name again? Angelina, she was right where the sign is the rainbow. So whenever you see a rainbow, you wonder, you know, isn't that great how that happens? And it is. It's just, man can't do that. No matter how brilliant you are, we are, you know, or anyone, we just can't get up there and just design a rainbow, as it were. That's there because God has put it there. No one else. So no one on earth can deny the existence of God. You follow what I'm saying? God does exist. God is real. What God says in the Bible is true because those are His words. So the rainbow, he says to Noah, "This is a covenant that I'm making. This is the sign. Whenever you see the rainbow, you're going to remember that I have said that I will not destroy the earth again." Okay? So that rainbow is there. A rainbow is there for that reason. Now, I want you to turn to the third page, the earth, and I entitle this, "The Earth, Our Home Away from Home." Notice that I capitalized the second home, the whole word, all letters in caps. Does anyone know what I'm trying to say by that? Let's see who can take a guess at that. Our home, HOME, away from home, capital H, capital O, yes. That's right. Whoa, this is a smart group. Smart group. You young people are talented, really. That's what I mean. This earth is our home away from our real home, which is in heaven. Okay? So, while we are here in this little home, or this temporary home, away from our real home, what are the facts about this earth? What is it that we as Christians now should be saying and doing? Now, again, I want to emphasize this. I don't want you to dismiss what your teachers in school are telling you about global warming. Okay? I don't want you to embrace everything that is being said, because some of it is debatable. Some of it is not debatable. Some of it is true. Some of it is not true. So, having said that, let's set aside global warming, okay? Let's just set that aside. Now, I was thinking of doing this, and for fear that Dr. Young here would probably say something to me, I didn't do it. But when I sat here, I was going to do this. I was going to take out a mint, and I was going to do one of these. I was just going to take this mint and put it in my mouth, and then I was going to go like that. throw it on the floor. And he would have noticed that. He would have said, he probably would have been thinking, what's wrong with Pastor Ed? That doesn't belong there. And then I put some trash in my pocket, like a straw thing, and I was going to go like that and clean my pockets. Right? The only thing I would throw on the floor would be money, and I would pick that up. But I was going to throw stuff on the floor. I was going to bring in a little paper cup, like those Dixie paper cups, and I was going to get a little bit of water, drink it, crush it, and then throw it on the floor. And I'm sure that some of you would have probably thought, is he crazy today? Why is he doing that stuff? And so all that was to prove a point. That this is not something that we want to do, is it? No. This is not the way that we as Christians ought to behave. So I want to talk about that. And I want to talk about it from the perspective of the way that God sees us. Okay? Because when we do things like that, we bring damage to our environment. When we don't take care of our bodies, we bring damage to the environment. Do we not? We had a family gathering last night. I'm going to share this real quick, and then I'll get back to this. You want to say something?
No.
Oh, okay. I saw your hand go like that. We had a family gathering last night. It was, you know, my wife's side of the family in Chelsea. So we go there last night, and they started reminiscing about, you know, their younger years. Now, two of her brothers are in the 50s, her sister's 49, my wife will be turning 45. So they're talking back to when they were like 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. And one of them was talking about, while in school, one of her friends was being teased a lot because, unfortunately, this one girl smelled a lot, had like body odor and stuff, and she would get teased a lot. And they would leave her signs and notes, and they would say pig, and they would really insult this girl. Because whenever she came in, even in the morning, she would put out this odor because she really wasn't taking care of her body. So when we don't take care of our bodies, it does affect the environment. Would you agree? Yeah. People around you, and you stay away from them, right? Yeah, you do. And so it is important that we become, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, and I was just going to say something that's part of my points here. But let me share some facts concerning Earth, okay? There are seven, real quick, that I'm going to share with you. Now that I have this mint in my mouth, it's getting in my way, so I'll take one of these. Is that the last one? Yeah, throw it away. No. Okay. So let's look at this. I know that if you have a pencil, you can write it in. If not, I have this on the computers, I think, so I can always give you a copy of this. I'll leave this one behind, and you can fill in the blanks. The earth was formed by God. Okay? The earth was formed by God. Now look again at the verse that I gave you here that says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it, for he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the world. In other words, remember Genesis 1:1. How does Genesis 1:1 start? Anybody? Genesis 1:1 starts out by saying what? In the beginning. Yeah. Right. God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, when there was nothing, God created the heavens, plural, and singular, the earth. The heavens and the earth. And because of that, this earth belongs to God. Now, how many of you have been to Google Earth? Have you been there? Isn't that great? You know, you could just enter an address and you see this big globe there, and then you enter an address and then it starts to zoom in and it's really cool how that happens, you know, and it brings you right to where you live, and if you put your address in there, and when you look at that, the earth is big. You know, it's really big because you look at this and you say, whoa. And then if you put in there the Great Wall of China or something else, it turns the globe around and it zooms right where it is. And you see, whoa, that's huge. It's big. But this whole earth was created by God. Now, we that live on this earth have some responsibilities. And again, I'm getting ahead of myself here, so let me hold on here. Let me give you the second fact. The earth belongs to God. Okay? First of all, He formed it, and because He formed it, it belongs to Him. Inventors, when they invent something, that invention belongs to them. That's their invention. They pay to patent the invention, they get lawyers, they get all that, and that belongs to me. You can't use that. That's my pattern. I invented that. That's mine, so it belongs to them. Same thing with the earth. God created the earth. The earth belongs to Him. Third, everything in the earth belongs to God. Again, Psalm 24, 1-4 says, "And all who live in it, for He founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters." And He says in Psalm 89:11, "The heavens are yours, and yours also the earth. You founded the earth and all that is in it." Everything belongs to the Lord. You see this pulpit here, this podium? Right? Believe it or not, even though we say it belongs to Central Baptist Church, really, you know, if God wants it, He'll take it. It's His. Everything belongs to Him. We cannot become owners of anything. Everything that we have is borrowed. It's borrowed. It's ours. I mean, it's not ours. It's God, but it's borrowed to us. Let me give you the fourth. God has made a covenant with the earth. Not only... Now, you have to understand this verse, and I'm going to read it again. God was talking to Noah, but it says that He made a covenant to the earth. Now, let me read that verse again. In Genesis, it says, "So God said to Noah," He's just talking to Noah, and He says, "This is the sign of the covenant I have established between me and all life on earth." Okay? All life on earth. Does that include animals? Did anybody watch, did anyone, let me ask you a question, pay attention up here for a second. Did anyone watch the news this week of the Marine who had a little puppy? Did you see that? He had a little puppy, and this was out in Iraq. Did you see this? He had a little puppy, real adorable little puppy, white and black. And I don't mean to make anyone upset over this, but he took the little puppy, grabbed him by the skin like that, and the camera was rolling and everything, and the dog was yelping. And he took the dog and went like this. He was all in uniform, and he took the dog like this and threw it down a cliff. Some of you saw it, because you saw it, right? Because you raised your hands. Is that the way that we treat animals? No. Why not? Why is that? Huh?
Huh?
Yeah. You know? I mean, we humans is not the only thing God created. He created us in His image. But He created other stuff too, right? Animals and plants and trees. Right? So why should we mistreat an animal? Now, there are some people out there that get really, really radical with that. And they're entitled to their views, but the truth of the matter is that even a cat or a dog ought to be respected. Yes?
Why'd you throw the puppy down the cliff?
Dumb? Florida. Yeah. Dumb? Basically, really? It's like a brother here, he mentioned about the two young ladies from Alabama and North Carolina this week who got shot. The two people that did it, why did they do that? Dumb? Maybe they weren't on drugs, so I don't know. But You know, I mean, I just don't know. It's just, that's not what we do with the things that have life. Does a tree have life? Yeah. Trees have life. They produce. They give out. Whenever in the fall, when all the leaves, in just a few weeks, you're going to see some of these trees putting out life. Brand new leaves, right? Trees have life. Now, I'm not an environmentalist, an environmental freak or anything, but to tear down a tree without wanting to do something productive with it, to me, it's kind of dumb. Do you know what I mean? I mean, if it's... You either tear down a tree because you're going to do something productive with it, or the tree is creating some damage. Make sense? Okay? I mean, we have to be careful. Because God put trees in the garden. Okay, let me move on to number 5. Some of the responsibilities that we have as Christians. As Christians, we have the responsibility of being good stewards of the earth. Now, by that I mean, don't litter. Remember, being a good steward means you don't litter. You don't throw stuff on the floor. You don't roll down your window because the fries that you got at the drive-up window at McDonald's got cold and now you don't want them. And you're going to roll down your window and throw the fries out the window. You don't do that. Or you don't get done with your milkshake and you don't want to leave the cup in the car, you're going to throw it out the window. You don't do that. In fact, we see signs everywhere, right? $500 for littering. Okay? You don't litter. You just don't take things and litter. But listen, how about littering at home? You ever come home from school and take your shoes off and then you take your socks off and put them in the floor of your bedroom and then 3 weeks later, they're under the bed. I mean, I don't do that. My wife won't let me. But the point here is that, you know, we could litter. We just don't take care of the stuff that we have. You know, my daughters, each one of them have a hamper. This is where you put your clothes when you're done using them. I have one daughter that to this day doesn't like the hamper. Okay? But that's another story. We need to be good stewards of the earth. Do not litter. Number 6. As Christians, we have the responsibility of caring for the earth. Meaning, do clean up. Now, a couple of summers ago, I don't know if Mayor Koch is going to do the same thing, but Mayor Phelan, when he was in office, he had in the summer, there was a cleanup day in Quincy. There you go. Greener Quincy. And so my wife and I signed up one Saturday to go and help out. And we were assigned over by Beechwood Knoll. There's like a cemetery back there or something like that. There's something back there. So we were in charge of going back there, give us big bags, and pick up stuff that people that walk through there just throw. There's a pathway there, and people just walking by just throw all kinds of stuff there. And it sits there. And so we would go, we went by and pick it up, put it in a big plastic bag, and clean up. Help out. Right where you live. Church. You see something, pick it up. Throw it away. You're helping. Okay? So, we have that responsibility, not only of being good stewards, but also of caring for the earth and caring for our environment. As Christians, we have the responsibility, this is the final one, of taking a stand for the earth. Taking a stand for the earth. Meaning, take a stand. Don't just stand there and do nothing. Do something. Productive. If you can't do something physically, at least do something with your voice. Express yourself. You know, if you saw me, if I did what I said I was going to do, with throwing trash all over the floor here, and even though you saw what I did and know that I put it there, I threw it there, and I end up leaving, and you don't say anything, well, maybe you don't because you don't want to confront me or something like that. Maybe that could be, but I think you should. Now, let me leave you with this last illustration before I pray, okay? let me use this book here for a minute. If this was a notebook computer, and a lot of you know what a notebook computer is, and this notebook computer belonged to your mom or dad, or both, and this room here was filled with people, and this notebook computer, which belongs to your mom or dad, is here, and they were typing away, and then they got done, they turned it off, and they closed it, and they started fellowshipping and talking to other people, and you saw someone come over to the notebook computer and pick it up, and you were looking at them, and you're saying, that's my mom and dad's computer. And someone's looking at them, and they did something like this. And they go. And they started mistreating that. What would you do? Anybody? What would you do? Anybody? Any volunteers to tell me what they would do if they saw someone doing that? They would just, oh, this is a nice flat computer. Anyone, what would you do? Would anybody do anything?
Yeah.
Okay, what would you do? And this is a big, husky guy.
Oh.
What would you do? Tell me, what would you do, really?
Confront them.
You would confront them yourself. Okay, anybody else would do anything different? You would yell at them? Okay. Okay, anybody, would anyone do anything different? Yeah, Ellen.
I'd tell my mom.
You told your mom. Okay, you would tell your mom, right? Yeah. Okay, now, you became reactive to that, right? I mean, you're reacting to what it is, and you're going to take some action. Okay? Why? Why would you do that? Why would you yell at him? Why would you confront him? Why would you tell your parent? Why would you do that? Yeah. And that belongs to them, right? That's not the way to treat that. How do you think God feels as He sits in His heaven, on the throne, up in heaven, and He's looking down at the earth? And God is everywhere. God is here right now. He hears my voice. He sees you. He sees me. God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. How do you think He feels when He sees someone mistreating something or someone, and we do nothing about it? We just say, it's none of my business. Why do I want to get involved with that? Do you see what I'm saying? Now, I don't expect any of you to go and say to this big husky guy, hey, that's my mom's computer now. What are you doing with that? Because he'll probably yell at you and intimidate your son. But at least you can go to your mom and dad and say, Mom, hey, Dad, you see that big bully over there? He just took your computer and picked it up and dropped it on the table. I'm sure your mom or dad is going to come over and talk. So, excuse me, sir, why are you doing that? That's my computer. Here, I'll take it back. And I was told that you picked it up and dropped it on the table. And you can damage the computer. Do you see what I'm saying? I mean, we have the responsibility as Christians to take a stand, is basically what I'm trying to say. Let me say this other thing as I finish here. If you know someone is hurting, if you know someone is not a Christian, do we have the responsibility, if God gives us the courage and the Spirit moves us, to share the gospel with them? We do, right? We do. We have that responsibility to say, you know what? Jesus loves you. He created you and He loves you. He has a plan and purpose for you. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? You know, not in front of everybody. We befriend them first and then we talk to them about it and stuff. But we have that responsibility as Christians. So do we have a responsibility. So I'm going to encourage you now. When you leave here, after you finish eating and having your, I don't know, you're going to have food today. The tables are clean. Oh, you are? No, nothing's coming in yet. Probably going to have to order pizza, huh? If you order pizza, I'll stay. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. But listen, when you're done cleaning, you know, take the extra few steps and throw that cup away. Okay? Because God sees that you're doing that. And He's going to say, she's taking care of her responsibility. He's being a good steward of my earth that I created, that I said I would never destroy. Okay? Take your showers. Brush your teeth. Okay? Comb your hairs. Do everything. I mean, just be good stewards of what God has given us. Amen?